All right, it's good to be back. Baruch Hashem, today's daf is Zvachim daf Yud Tes. I don't know where you left off, but we're going to start again. Really, the best starting point is, I guess, the two dots on the top of Yud Tes and Aleph. But just to make mention that the Gemara was discussing that there are six different halachos we learn from the word bad when we describe the Big Day Kahuna. So there are different halachos the Braisa had quoted, and about five lines into the wide lines in Yud Tes and Beis, all these different halachos that we learn from the word bad, that has to be shalbutz, it has to be chadashim, it has to be shazurim, it has to be folded over six times, you can't wear shalchali mahen, all these different halachos that we learn from the word bad. So the Gemara had said that Ravina derived that one of these halachos from the fact that it has to be made out of pishtan, from the fact that the pasuk in Yecheskel describes the begadim of the kohanim as made out of pishtan, and yet in the Torah it says bad. So you see that the bad that it refers to must be that it's made out of pishtan. So the Gemara had said about 5-6 lines before the end, Amalei Ravashi Ravina v'ha'ad da'asi Yecheskel minalan. That's great. You're quoting me a pasuk. Yecheskel, what did we do before the pasuk in Yecheskel came along? There were dinim in the Torah before the pasuk in Yecheskel came along. So how did we know what it meant, what the Big Day Kuna had to be? So the Gemara says, nah, you can't ask such a kasha. We have other halachas also that we learn that seem to be derived from Yecheskel and not from the Chumash. For instance, the pasuk says, "Kol ben nechar or alev or al basar lo yava al mikdashi." So ad shabay Yecheskel minalan. How did we know that an Aral was not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash before Yecheskel came along? Must be that we had such a tradition, that there was already such a tradition that these dinim existed. Yecheskel came along and connected it to a pasuk. So Yecheskel made a pasuk that related to these dinim. So that's what happened by us as well. That's the idea that we know that it has to be made out of pishtan. Now, two lines from the bottom. Mailu yachru biyaza. What does it mean when the pasuk says, it's unclear how to teach the pasuk, just what the translation, what exactly it means, when the pasuk says lo yachguru, the pasuk says lo yachguru biyaza, that you're not allowed by yaza, you're not allowed to be choger, like put a belt biyaza with yaza. So Amar Abaye says lo yachguru b'makom shemazin. What that means is you shouldn't put on the avnet of the kohen gadol, the belt of the kohen gadol should not be in a sweaty place. Kedetanya, like we have a braisa, k'shem chogrin ein chogrin lo lematam imas. When they would put on the belt, they would have to be careful. If a Kohen had a generous midsection, he was overweight, and his stomach hung over to create a fold in his body in that spot. So whenever there are folds in the body, that's where people tend to sweat. That's why we sweat in our armpits, because it's a fold in the body. It's skin on skin, and we tend to sweat in those areas. So if a Kohen has his belly hanging over, so you shouldn't put on the avnet in that area. Also, we can't put on the belt so high that it's in the armpit area, because we sweat a lot there as well. Rather, the belt is put on by the atzile yedehen, which is across from the elbows, and that area is an area that's not so sweaty. The Briska Rav is quoting the Bir Yadav, has the following chakira. This idea that you don't put on the belt in the area that it's sweaty is, there are two ways to understand that din. Is that a din in the Tzuras HaChagira, that's how you're supposed to wear the belt, that the Torah says that you're not supposed to wear it in a sweaty place, meaning that is the makom of the Levisha of that particular baguette? Or, no, maybe it's not the makom of the levisha of that baguette, it's just that it's a din kavod, that it's a din kavod of the begadim, that you shouldn't put on a baguette in an area that's a sweaty place. But it's not a din in the belt, that's the makom of the belt. Really, kasher makom for the belt is anywhere from the armpits all the way down. Really, that would have been fine. The only thing is, you have to be careful to show proper kavod to the belt. Nafkamina, maybe, I don't know if you have deodorant or something, where there's no way that the person has something that you get into all chatzitza issues, things like that, but let's say you could have such a situation. The more major nafkamina, the more obvious nafkamina, is does this din apply to other big dekuna as well? The choshen, the ephod, which is also with a chagira, it's also tied on to the kohen. Does that chagira also have to be in a place where there's no sweating? So if it's a din in big dekuna, that big dekuna can't be. It's a covet in the big dekuna that they shouldn't be in a place where you're sweating. So then it should be for all big dekuna. But if it's dafka a din in the makom of the belt, so then it's only a din in over here. It's not a din. It's only a din in the avnate. It's not a din in the other big day kuhuna as well. So the Briska Rav Taina is that it's actually machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi ala Torah in Shemos Perichav Ches Pasuk Zayin writes that by the Chagiras ha'efod lo yachgru biyaza, that by the efod as well, not just by the avnate, by the efod as well, that you're not supposed to tie it in a sweaty area, clearly assuming that the din applies to other big day kuhuna. However, from the Rambam Kle Amigdosh Perik Yud Alach Abeis, it's mashma that it's dafka, that this din is dafka by the avnate, and it's not by any other of the big dekuna, which implies that it's dafka adin in the makom of the avnate and nothing more than that. Another nafkamina is in this halacha lo yachgur biyaza, is it ma'akev or is it only a din lechatchila? If you hold like Rashi that it's a din in the ofen hachagira, so then it's not ma'akev. But according to the Rambam that it's a din in the makom ha'avnet, that this is the area, it would be like taking the michnasayim and putting them on your head, right? You can't take the big dekuna, the pants, and put them on your head. That's obviously not yotzei. That's not the makom where it belongs, and that would obviously be psul b'dieved. That wouldn't count as anything. But maybe if it's just a din in kavod, it's tam, a din in kavod of showing proper kavod to the begadim, so then maybe it would still be kosher b'di'eved, even if you didn't show this proper level of kavod. That's the Torah of the Briska Rav on this issue. So says the Gemara Vayta, we're on Yotes Amar Aleph at the very top line of the page. Am Ravashi Amarli Huna Bar Nasan. Ravashi said that I was told by Huna Bar Nasan, Zimna Chada, that one time, Avakimna Kamnei, is Godar Malka, I was standing in front of his Godar Melech, the king is Gadar, who's apparently a non-Jewish king. He adjusted his belt. He saw that his belt was in the wrong spot. He looked a little unkempt. He looked a little that his belt was out of place. So he lifted it up and put it down in the right place. And the king said, as he was correcting him, it's like sometimes if a person's collar is up on their jacket, you know, someone comes and just tries to make you look nice, that you shouldn't look ridiculous. So he said to him, he says, look, you guys are supposed to be a mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. You're supposed to be a very holy people, so you should look holy. And that's what he that was his comment to him, why he had to look presentable. So kiasai kamed ameimer, when he came in front of ameimer and he told him what happened, amalei kaim b'cha v'hayu malachim umnecha. So he said, you see from there it was mekuyim in you, the pasuk, that the kings are going to be the ones to serve you. That here you have a king who goes ahead and makes you look presentable and services you the way a servant would serve you, and you have a king doing it for you. That's part of being a member of Klal Yisrael. So that nevuah was mekuyam in you. Fine, two dots. Tnanasan. We have a Mishnah. In Maseches Erevin, the Mishnah says as follows: Kohen shalaka be'etzbo. Let's say a Kohen gets a boo-boo. He gets injured on his finger. So he needs a band-aid. So korichala hagemi, b'migdash avalo b'medina. So let's say it's Shabbos. So on Shabbos, he's allowed to tie, wrap a reed around it, b'migdash, but not in the Medina, not outside of the Migdash. But v'im lahotzi mimen adam kan v'kan aser. But if his intention is to squeeze blood out, then it's going to be aser both in the Migdash and in the Medina. So if you look at Rashi, korichala gemi, says Rashi, b'shas avoda, during the time of the avoda, sheginayu shetira shamakaso. So Rashi says something a little more. He doesn't just say that you're allowed to be korichala gemi. That's one chiddush. But Rashi says that you're korichala gemi because it's a genai at the shas avoda that you should look like you have an injury. So you need to do something to cover up the injury so that it shouldn't be a genai at the shas avoda. So that's an interesting thing. It sounds from Rashi that it's not just that it's permissible to do do it, but it sounds from Rashi that you're mechuyev to do it because it's a gnai otherwise, that that one is mechuyev to tie something, to tie the band-aid around. Rashi goes weiter and he says, what's the issue over here? The athel gab the gemi masi maka, even though the reed is going to cure, it's going to heal the wound, the kol davar sheyesh bo mishum refua asur mishum shvus gezeirah shem yishchak samanim, and even though normally, generally speaking, it's asur to do refua on Shabbos, there's an isur drabanan. We're not allowed to do refua on Shabbos lest we grind up herbs and things like that in order to make medication. So it's gezeirah mishum tochein that we're not allowed to do refua on Shabbos. So Rashi says hani mili b'medina. So that's the chiddush of this mishnah. That's only true outside of the mikdash. Avu b'mikdash lo gazur mishum shvus. But in the mikdash there was no such gezeirah. They didn't make any sort of gezeirah because of a shvus. Now, the Rashi says the reason why in the Mikdash it was mutter is because the reason why they would do it, and and even though normally it's nisad rabbanon, is because it's a gnai for the avoda. So it sounds like ein shvus b'mikdash, the fact that Rashi has to justify that they were doing it for the avoda and doesn't just stam say, yeah, you're allowed to do it because of ein shvus b'mikdash, sounds like Rashi might hold that that the ein shvus b'mikdash rule is only for things that are tzarchei ha'avoda. I mean, you can't just stam walk around the Beis HaMikdash violating Yisurim Drabanan. It sounds like it's dafka for tzarchei avoda. Rashi says, look, it's bad for the avoda to have your wound clear and evident, so you have to honor the avoda properly, and don't worry about the shvus, ein shvus b'migdash. So it sounds like Rashi holds ein shvus b'migdash is only for things that are tzarek li'avoda. The Rambam writes that it's mutr la'hadiach es ha'azara b'erev Pesach. The Rambam holds you're allowed to clean out the azara on Erev Pesach, shechal b'shabbos, from the blood that's there, from the Karbanos Pesach. The Gemara Pesachim describes how on Erev Pesach there was so much blood, if you could imagine, all of Klal Yisrael coming to bring Karbanos Pesach, the Gemara describes that Kohanim were walking knee-deep in blood in the Beis HaMikdash. That's how much blood there was. So let's say Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos. You can have the Beis HaMikdash looking like that for the whole Yontif, because it's because you're going straight from Shabbos into Yontif. So the Rambam says that they were allowed to wash out the Azara on Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos. And he says, because Ein Isur Shvus B'Migdash, Afilu B'davar She'eno Tzarech Avoda, Isur Shvus B'Migdash Heterhu. The Rambam says explicitly, even though it's no longer L'Tzarech Avoda, it's just to make the Beis HaMikdash look nice, it's still okay. Ein Shvus B'Migdash even applies to things that are not L'Tzarech Avoda. Now, what's the reason for Ein Shvus B'Migdash? Why is it that Yisurim Drabanan just happened to go away, and they all of a sudden they're not a problem when you're in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mari Korkus explains the Rambam that because Kohanim, and it's based on the Gemara sounds like it says this way, that Kohanim is Rizimheim, that since Kohanim are very careful and they're very religious, and when they're doing the Avoda, they're going to be very cautious, we don't have to worry that Kohanim are going to come to violate Yisurim Daraisa. So let's say Shchikas, the Isur Refuah, is because of a Gzeira that you might come to grind herbs in order to make medication. But Kohanim are going to be so careful that even if they do things that are Mishum Refuah, they're never going to actually come to do the Yisur of Tochin Midar Raisa. That's the idea. Kohanim is Rizimheim, so they weren't gozer on the in the Mikdash, because the Kohanim are going to be very careful. Now, according to that approach, that it's all because of Kohanim's reason, there are a number of issues that would be affected based on that idea, that it's all based on Kohanim's Rizimheim. For instance, can a Yisrael do a Shvus B'Migdash? If it's only a din that Kohanim's Rizimheim, well, there's no din that Yisrael's Rizimheim, so Yisrael should not be allowed to do a Shvus B'Migdash. Or do you say, no, it's just a din in the Migdash, that they weren't gozer any Shvus in the Migdash, and Yisrael, therefore, should be able to do a Shvus in the Migdash. So that's a discussion the Sfas Emes has in Beitzon Dav Chaf and other Achronim discuss. Or also another Nafkamina. What about there are two types of Yisurim Drabbanan. Sometimes Drabbanan make an Isur, Gzeira Shema Yavo, that it will come lead you to do X, Y, and Z. Sometimes they don't make an Isur because it's going to lead you to do X, Y, and Z, but they're going to make an Isur because it looks like you're already doing a certain Issur D'Oraisa. Not that doing the Issur D'Rabbanan is going to lead you to do the Issur D'Oraisa, but that it's easily confused for the Issur D'Oraisa, and one might think that one might not distinguish between that Issur, or it looks too similar to the Issur D'Oraisa that the Rabbanan made a Gezeira. If the whole idea of Ein Shvilus B'Migdash Kohanim is reason, so don't worry, they're not going to come to that Issur D'Oraisa. That's only if the Din D'Rabbanan that we're talking about is the kind of D'Rabbanan that was made because of a concern that it will lead you to do an Issur D'Oraisa. But if the kind of D'Rabbanan that we're talking about is not because it might lead you to do an Issur D'Oraisa, then there would be no such Din of Ein Shvilus B'Migdash. One more nafkamina. The Bir Adav, he has this beautiful footnote with all these nafkaminas. One more nafkamina, he says. What about Yisurim Drabana that are not Mishum Yisurei Shabbos? They're about other Yisurei Torah. So if it's all because of Kohanim's Rizim Haim, should it make a difference whether it's Shabbos or any other Yisurei Torah? Right? It should Ein Shvilus B'Migdash is Ein Shvilus B'Migdash. The Kohanim are Zaris about everything. It's not only about Shabbos. So it shouldn't only be about Shabbos. And that's what the Prima Gadim writes in Aruch Chaim Simen Tov Reish Chaf Aleph, that by Shechita, Yesh Lishchot L'Chadchila Kol Shnei HaSimanim, we have a din by Shechita that if you cut rove of the two Simanim, of the two pipes that you're supposed to cut by Shechita, that's kosher. But l'chadchila, we're makbid that we try to cut kol. We try to cut it entirely. Why are we makbid l'chadchila, try to cut it entirely? We're afraid if you go for rove, you might not get rove. You might only cut less than 50%. So in the Migdash, the Prima Gadim writes, there's no such din l'chadchila. You only need rove simanim because ain't shvus b'migdash. So they didn't make any din d'rabbanan that you should cut kol in the Migdash. So you see clearly Prima Gadim assumes Ein Shvilus B'Migdash is not only din in Hilchos Shabbos, it's a din in everything. It's a din in all dinim d'rabbanan. However, Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, implies that it's only by Yisuri Shabbos that we say Ein Shvilus B'Migdash. So it seems to be that that's the deal over here. Is Ein Shvilus B'Migdash purely because of Kohanim Zrizim Haim, or is it some larger din that just Ein Shvilus B'Migdash, that we don't make a Gzeira d'rabbanan in the Migdash? Fine, but then the Gemara had said that if you intend to, or the Mishnah and Erevin said that if you intend to draw blood, that's going to be Aser. Why is that Aser? So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos. There's a discussion about this. In Maseches Shabbos, obviously, there's a discussion about this, whether it's an Isra of Shochet, an Isra of Tzaveya. Ramam holds an Isra of Dash, of drawing blood. But there is some sort of Isra of drawing blood. So that's that if your intention is to draw blood, so that's going to be Aser everywhere, because that's not a Din D'Rabbanan, that's an Isra D'Oraisa of drawing blood of some sort, whatever the Issur D'Oraisa might be. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Chiya, lo shanu el gemi. We only said you're allowed to tie a gemi, a reed, onto your finger if you have a cut, or onto your hand if you have a cut. If you're a Kohen, aval tziltzul katan have a yisur begadim. But if you make like a little belt, and you tie a little belt over your cut, then that's considered yisur begadim. That's considered that you're wearing extra begadim that you're not allowed to wear. The big day kuna, a certain amount of big day kuna, the dalad begadim of the Kohen Hediot, the ches of the Kohen Gadol, any more than that, wearing any more begadim is a violation of yisur begadim. So if you make a little belt that you tie around your wound, that's called yisur begadim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lomar yisur begadim ela b'makom begadim. Aval shalom b'makom begadim lo avi yisur. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, yisur begadim is only in the place where you actually have begadim on. But your hands, you don't have gloves in the Beis HaMikdash, your hands don't have any begadim on them, so there's no isur of yisur begadim if you have a cut on your finger and you tie something around the finger. So frak the Gemara, granted, it's not going to be a problem with yisur begadim, but there's another problem. The tepekle mishum chatzitza. Isn't it a problem of chatzitza? Because the halacha is, when you're doing the avoda, you're not allowed to wear gloves, for instance. You can't have a davar achotzeitz, can't have anything that interposes between your hands and that which you're touching for the avoda, those things that you're holding, the kalim, the klei shares, the animal, whatever it might be, whenever you're doing the avoda, you have to be touching it directly. So if you have a bandage on your finger is not touching whatever you're supposed to be holding directly. So says the Gemara, bismal. No, maybe the your boo-boo and your bandage is on your left hand, and you do the avoda with the right hand. Inami shalobu makam avoda, or maybe your wound with the bandage is on the back of your hand, and you touch it with the front of your hand, with the palm of your hand. So it's not going to be a problem of chatzitza. So says Gemara, pliga de Rava, but this you should know is in disagreement with Rava. The previous analysis that we said about this gemi and the difference between a gemi and a little tzilzul kata and a little belt is in disagreement with Rava. Dama Rava Amrav Chista, b'makom begadim afilu nima achas chotzetas. Rava holds in the name of Rav Chista that when you're talking about the area of your body where the begadim are supposed to be, even a single strand is a chatzitza. The tiniest chatzitza is a problem. Shelo b'makom begadim, when it's not on the area of your begadim, so like on your hands, shalosh al shalosh chotzos pachos mikanein chotzos. So if the bandage, let's say, is 3x3 etzbaos, then it's going to be a chatzitza. Less than that is not going to be a chatzitza. Now, Rashi points out the word chatzitza over here is really lavdafka. It doesn't mean chatzitza. It's really an issue of yisur begadim, because we're not talking about we're talking about even on the back of the hand that it's going to be a problem. That having extra bandages on is going to be a problem if it's shalosh al shalosh. So that is so that is the statement of Rava. Now, what exactly did we say that goes against that statement? So the Gemara comments, Ad Rabbi Yochanan vaday pliga. Now, certainly Rabbi Yochanan, who said that shalob b'makom begadim, there's no problem of yisur begadim. That if you wear a bandage on the back of your hand, Rabbi Yochanan said that's fine. So Rabbi Yochanan never made any din, never made any chilik between how big the bandage is, bigger than shalosh shalosh, less than shalosh shalosh. Sounds like it doesn't matter how big it is, as long as it's not on the area where you have begadim, and it's not going to be a chatzitza in your avoda. Rabbi Yochanan seemed perfectly fine with it. Rava limits it, and Rava says no, it can only be up until shalosh al shalosh. So you see clearly Rava is against Rabbi Yochanan. Ad Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chia mi lema de pliga shiny tzilzul katan de chashiv. But maybe Rava's not in disagreement with Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chia. What did Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chia say? All he said is that only a gemi is going to be okay, but if you have a tzilzul katan, you put a little belt on as a on the wound as a bandage, that's going to be problematic. So maybe that's in agreement with Rava. Rava said a bandage is only a problem when it's 3x3 or larger, but maybe Rava would be moda that if it's such a chash of a bandage that it's even if it's smaller, but it's a tzilzul katan, it's like its own kli already. It's own entity, and therefore it's such a chash of a bandage. Maybe even Rava would be moda that is a problem, even though it's less than shalosh al shalosh. So it's not necessarily true that Rava would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Chiya, only that Rava would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. Good, that's one version of the discussion. Lishnachrina, another version of the same discussion. Amri la am Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Rabbi Chiya lo shanu al gemi. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Rabbi Chiya says that the heter of tying the bandage in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos is only if you have to read aval tziltzul katan chotzeitz, but if you have a little belt that you tie around the wound, it's going to be a chatzitza. Rabbi Yochanan amar lomar chatzitza pachos mishalosh al shalosh al b'makom begadim. Rabbi Yochanan says, now, chatzitza is only when it's a chatzitza of less than 3x3 is only when it's on the area where the begadim are supposed to be. Aval shalo b'makom begadim, but when it's not in the area that the begadim are supposed to be, this is Rabbi Yochanan talking now, then only if it's 3x3 is it going to be a problem. Less than 3x3 is not a problem. So you see, there's the difference. In the first Lashon, Rabbi Yochanan didn't make any distinctions between shalosh al shalosh or not. He just said, shalom malkum agadim, you're okay. You can have whatever bandage you want. Now over here in the second Lashon, Rabbi Yochanan himself says that the shalom malkum agadim, if it's 3x3, if it's a problem, if it's less than 3x3, it's not a problem. So vahainu derav amar chissa. Now it turns out Rabbi Yochanan is saying exactly what Rav Amar Rav Chista said, because Rav Amar Rav Chista is the one that made that chilik between 3x3 and less than 3x3. So leima pliga Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara says, but maybe Rav Amar Rav Chista disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Rabbi Chiya, who seemed to have a problem with a tziltzul katan, even though it was less than 3x3. So the Gemara says what we said before: shiny tziltzul katan to chashiv. Maybe tziltzul katan is an exception because it's a very chashiv a kind of bandage, and therefore, for even if it's less than 3x3, it's going to be a problem. But typically, a regular bandage that's less than 3x3 is not going to be is not going to be a problem. Good. So that's how that's how that conversation plays out according to both versions. So frakt the Gemara ul Rabbi Yochanan may irya gemi lashmin and silsil katan. But wait a second. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a chiluk between less than 3x3, more than 3x3, and shelo b'makom the begadim you can have a bandage on. So why does he talk about gemi? Why doesn't he tell us the din about silsil katan? Why doesn't he say that even silsil katan is okay? So maybe he's trying to just teach us a practical matter that a reed also helps cure the injury, that you might have not realized that a reed is a suitable band-aid. So he's telling you that it also will help you cure, will help you heal the injury. Period. Now the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions about chatzitza. The Gemara is going to ask a series of 8 questions in regards to chatzitza, whether certain things constitute a chatzitza or not. So number one, by Rava, nichnas ala ruach bebigdo mahu. Let's say sometimes on a windy day, the wind gets like under your clothing and you're like, your shirt blows out a little bit. So there's wind, there's air in between your skin and your clothing, if you're wearing loose clothing. So let's say there's a ruach inside the big dekuna. So al basaro bin un valeka u dil maderek levisha bekach. Do you say no? The big dekuna need to be al basaro, and they're not al basaro when it's puffed out because of the wind, and therefore that's a chatzitza. Unbelievable that wind is going to be a chatzitza, air is going to be a chatzitza. Or do you say no? He's wearing it the normal way. So what do you want him to do? That's just the normal way you wear that baget, and therefore it's totally fine. That's shaila number one. The Gemara doesn't answer any of these. Shaila number two: kina mahu shatachutz. What if you have a little lice inside, in between your beged and your skin? Is that going to be a chatzitza? Mesa loti b'alach tevadichaitz. Now, if it's dead, it's for sure a chatzitza. B'chayamai, what if it's alive? Mi amrinan kivan da'asa va'azla rabisa hiva lo chaitza. Do we assume that since these things are all over the place and it's very common, so therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza? Odil makivan da'kapara lo chaitza. Or maybe the fact that you are makbid on it being there, you don't want it to be there, maybe therefore it should be a chatzitza. Afar mahu sheyachutz. The Gemara says, what about dirt? Is dirt going to be a chatzitza? This is shaila number three. Afar vadai chayitz. Do you say, well, of course dirt is... So the Gemara says, well, dirt, if it's mamish dirt, then for sure it's a chatzitza. If a person has mud on their body, there's no question that's a chatzitza. But ela avak afar mahu. What about like a very soft kind of dirt that just blows around all over the place? That kind of dirt. Is that going to be a problem of chatzitza? We're not talking about globs of mud over here. We're talking about if you walk around the old city. Baruch Hashem had the opportunity this past week. You walk around, one of my talmidim was learning in yeshiva right in the old city, and he told me that it's very hard for him because he's allergic to dust, and he sneezes, and the whole place, like whenever you walk around, there's dust flying all over the place. So that kind of dirt, is that going to be a problem? Obviously, the Kohanim washed off before they put on the big dekuna, but still, dirt is a real problem because it's blowing all over the place. So that's the issue. So avak for mahu, is that going to be a chatzitza? Or is that not going to be a chatzitza? Shaila number four. Beis HaShechi Mahu Sheyachutz. What about the Beis HaShechi in the armpits? Meaning, let's say, the way Rashi explains this, let's say the shirt that you wear, sometimes if a person wears, let's say, a very tight shirt, like a turtleneck or something, you know, that's tight around the arms all the way up, so the clothing actually touches all the way up to the armpits. But most of our shirts, they give you a little room by the armpits, so the beged's not actually touching directly by the armpits. So is that a problem, that it's a chatzitza? Al basaro bina valeka, do you need the clothing to be literally touching your basar, and it's not touching your basar in that area? Odil maderek levisha bekach. Or do you say that no, that's the way you wear a shirt, so it's okay, it's not a problem of chatzitza? Shaila number five. What if the person puts his hand inside of his shirt? Is that going to be okay? Gufo michayitza lo. Is your own body going to be a chatzitza? Can your hand be a chatzitza, your arm be a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and your own body? Now in the Biur Edaf, he quotes that some of the Achronim have a ha'ara that regarding netilas yadayim for achila and for tefila, the poskim all write that negiya b'mekomos hamechusim, touching the parts of your body that are normally covered, requires you to do new netilas yadayim for tefila and for achila. Right? So apostles the yadayim, it's mechayiv and new netilas yadayim. So l'chora, you would say kol shkein in the Beis HaMikdash, where you need extra shmira yisera, you need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim from the kiyar. So for sure that if you would stick your arm inside your sleeve, you pull it in your sleeve and you take it out of your sleeve rather, and you put it inside your shirt where you're touching your body, so that for sure should be a problem. So yeah, but maybe that's a different thing. You're right, that's a problem. Maybe you need a new Tilis Adayim, but we want to know if it's a problem of Chatzitza. That's our Gemara Shaila. Or maybe you managed to make the shirt so loose that you managed to pull your arm out of the sleeve without touching your torso, without touching the inside of your shirt. So anyway, so that's a Shaila. Shaila number six. Nima mahu shetachutz. What about a strand of hair? Nima vade chaitza, or a strand of thread, rather. Nima vade chaitza. The Gemara says, no, a strand of thread, come on, of course that's a Chatzitza. Where if there's a strand that's dangling from the actual begadim, is that going to be chatzitza? Shaila number seven. Boy mar baravashi yatsa sa'aro bebigdo mahu. What if the kohen has long hair, that the hair actually gets between his bigdei kohuna and his skin? So let's say his hair goes in the back of his head and it dangles down in between the bigdei kohuna and the skin. So what's it in? Saru kugufa dami or lav kugufa dami? Is the hair considered part of your guf and therefore your own body is not a chatzitza to itself? Or do you assume that the hair is not part of your guf? The obvious kasha that all the achronim ask is that it's a separatist, or kohen can't be parua rosh. Kohen needs to get a haircut every 30 days. So how's he ever going to have hair that's long enough that's going to be a problem to be chotzeitz? So some of the farshim say that maybe we're talking about his payas or his beard. There's no din that he has to cut his payas and his beard every 30 days, his regular hair. So his beard goes down in front in between his big day kuhuna and his skin, or his payas down the side, something like that. That's what some explain. Others explain that the suffix over here is in regards to chilul avoda. Now someone who's perua rosh is asur to do the avoda, and he's even chayiv misa, but the avoda of a perua rosh is still kosher. It's not mechalal the avoda. That's a sugi in Masech Sanhedrin Daf Chav Beis and Beis. That's not going to be Mechal the Avoda. The Gemara Shaila over here, is this enough of a Chatzitza to be Mechal the Avoda? So forget about the Perua Rosh issue. Fine. The last Shaila number eight. Boy Rabbi Zera, Tefillin Ma'u Sheyachotzu, are Tefillin a Chatzitza? If you have your Tefillin on, you put the Big Day Kuna over your Tefillin. Is that a problem of Chatzitza? So Aliba Demandi Amar, so on that one we're going to start analyzing a little bit. By the way, just before we analyze that one, all of these shailas lead you to believe, it sounds like, the dinam of chatzitza of Big Day Kuna are different than the dinam of chatzitza that we have, let's say, by Tevila. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah and other places as well tells us that the dinam of chatzitza by Tevila is that mida oraisa only rubo umakbid is chotzeitz. Mida oraisa, something is only chatzitza if it covers a majority of your body and you don't want it there. But if it's a miyot she'eno makbid or a rubo, if it's a miyot hamakbid or a rubo she'eno makbid, it's only going to be chatzitza midrabanan. So over here it seems a little bit strange, because over here it doesn't seem that way at all. Why would a kina, let's say, be a chatzitza in the big day kuna? It's only a miut. And even if you are makbid, it should only be a chatzitza midarabanan. Certainly not a chatzitza midaraisa. So some say, yeah, in a chinami, our Gemara is talking about even chatzitzas midarabanan, not chatzitzas midaraisa. The Arsameach, however, disagrees. The Arsameach says, no, that we're talking, that the din of chatzitza when it comes to big day kuhuna is different than the din of chatzitza when it comes to tvila, that by big day kuna even a miut is a chatzitza mita oraisa, because the din of the source of the din that there's no problem of miut hamakbid, let's say by tvila, is because of a din of rubo kikulo, that we assume that as long as rov of the body doesn't have a chatzitza, it's ki'ilu all of the body doesn't have a chatzitza. But we know that that's not true by Big Day Kuna, the Arsameach says. Because let's say you have a chatzitza only b'makom the michnasayim, only b'makom the place where the kohen wears his pants. Now that's not rov of his body, yet we know that that is a problem of chatzitza. So as the Gzeres HaKasav, you see that we don't say a din of rubo kikulo by the din of Big Day Kuna, by chatzitza of Big Day Kuna. So that's why the Arsameach says Big Day Kuna must have different rules. So that's the, and that's the impression you get from the whole Gemara. Ruach, that wind is going to, air is going to be a chatzitza? Where do you ever find such a thing that air is a chatzitza? So it must be that we have different rules of chatzitza when it comes to Big Day Kuna. But now, in regards to tefillin, the Gemara gets into it a little bit. So Gemara says, okay, let's think about the tefillin issue. Aliba d'man yamar laila lav zman tefillin hu lo tibay ulach. If you hold that laila is not the zman tefillin, then there's no shaila. Even the laila chaitzi, yom nami chaitzi. So if tefillin is going to be a chatzitza at night, then it's got to be a chatzitza during the day. There's no way it could be a chatzitza sometimes, not other times. Kiti bay ulach, where's the shayla about tefillin, man yomer laila zman tefillin. May mitzvah dekufei chayitz alo chayitz. If you hold that laila is the zman tefillin, do you say a mitzvah on your body is going to be chayitz or not going to be chatzitza? Igol gul musl matel kamed Rabbi Ami. So the shayla got to Rabbi Ami. Amalei talmud aruch biyodenu tefillin chotzitzos. And he says, what do you mean? We know that tefillin are chatzitza. Meisvei kohanim b'avodasam luvim duchan v'yisrael b'mamadim p'tur min tefillin min tefillin. It says that kohanim are potter during the avodah from tefillin. My love and manichan enu chotzitzos. Sounds like they're only putter, but it's not a problem if they have tefillin. It's not going to be a chatzitza. So don't you see that it's not a chatzitza? Lo, iminichan chotzos. No, they're putter. Not only are they putter, but it is also a chatzitza. It would ruin the whole avodah. Ihachi pturim asur mi baile. But then why does he use the word putter to say that kohanim are usher to wear tefillin during the avodah? Kivin deika levim v'yisrael delomasulei usher mishamachi tana pturim. No, because since you can't say about levim and yisraelim that levim beduchanim yisraelim b'mamadim that they're usher to wear tefillin, and we're putting it all together in one sentence, that's why it doesn't say usher, it says putter. But erechinami, a kohen is usher to wear tefillin, it's a chatzitza. What does it mean chatzitza? Keep in mind, what this means is that if he puts his big day kuna on over his tefillin, it's a problem, because there can't be anything chotzit between the big day kuna and his flesh, and the tefillin can serve as that chatzitza. What the Rishonim deal with those, what about the opposite? Why doesn't the Gemara think of the following suggestion? Put the tefillin on over the big day kuhuna. So the Rush says, the fact that the Gemara didn't think of that idea tells you that you're not only not allowed to have a chatzitza between the big day kuhuna and your flesh, you're also not allowed to have a chatzitza between your tefillin and your flesh. The Rashba says that's not true. Rashba holds that by tefillin, there's no problem of chatzitza. This is a very big issue, halacha lemaisa. The Rashba writes that there's a difference between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. That chatzitza on the tefillin shel yad is a problem only on the shel yad, but not on the tefillin shel rosh. And he says the Gemara doesn't suggest placing the tefillin on top of the mitznefes, because when it's another mitzvah, it's going to be a chatzitza. But when it's not another mitzvah, generally there's no problem of chatzitza. This is major nafkaminas for people who have long hair, people who have a toupee, things like that. Whether it's a problem of chatzitza in tefillin. I wrote an article about it once. Vatanya, so I asked the Gemara, well, we have a brisa minichan enu chotzot, that if you put on the tefillin, it's not a chatzitza. Lo kasha, hadiyad, hadarosh. It depends on the tefillin shal yad, tefillin shal rosh. Shal yad, it's a chatzitza. The tefillin shal yad is a chatzitza for the big day kuna, not the shal rosh. Mayishna diyad, uchsiv, alava shal yilba shal basaro, shalo yeh dover chotzitz, beinol vasaro, derosh nami, ksiv, samtam, it's nefes al rosho. Why only shal yad? Is it a problem with the big day kuhuna that the tefillin is a chatzitza between the big day kuna and your flesh? By the Shal Rosh also, it says that the mitznef is supposed to be directly on the head. Shouldn't the tefillin be a problem of chatzitz on the Rosh also? So it says Gemara, Tana Sa'aro, Hayinira ben Tzitz l'mitznefes, Sheshama nichan tefillin. No, they didn't put the tefillin under or over the mitznefes. They put the tefillin in between the tzitz and the mitznefes. Meaning, there wasn't a chatzitz problem by the tefillin Shal Rosh, because it wasn't under the mitznefes. The mitznefes covered a certain area of the head. The tefillin covered another area of the head. Mechusu Kippurim minal. And then the Gemara said, how do I know that Mechusu Kippurim can't do the Kabbalah Saddam? So I'm Ravuna Makravik v'chipar alei akoyin v'tahera. Tahera mechlal shehi tameh. That implies that up until that point he's tameh. That if he's Mechusu Kippurim, he has the din of a tameh. V'shalor rochus yadayim raglayim. We also said someone who didn't have his hands and feet washed. So asya chuka chuka mi Mechusu begadim. That we derive chuka chuka from Mechusu begadim. Tan Rabban, koyin gadol shlo tavol shlo kiddush bein begel lebegel bein avodah l'avodah. Let's say you have a Kohen Gadol that did not do Tevila or Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim between changing clothing and between Avodos, and then he did the Avoda. Avodas Ksher is Avoda still kosher. Vechur Kohen Gadol, Vechur Kohen Hedyot, Shalo Kiddush Yadav V'Raglav Shachris, Va'avad, Avodas Psula. And whether it's a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot who does not wash his hands and feet in the morning and he does the Avoda, then his Avoda is going to be Pasul. So first thing in the morning, he skips the washing. That's going to be no good. In between avodos, in between changes of clothing, he skips the washing. That's okay. Amleir vasir Rabbi Yochanan Michti Chamish Tefilas Vasar Kedushin Dar Raisa V'Chukak Siv Behu Liakvu. It's all these dinim of the Tefilos and the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. They're all dinim Dar Raisa, and it says Chuka by all of them. So why should it not pasul the avodah? It should be Ma'akev. So Amleir Amar Krav V'Lavisham Levisha Ma'akev Zayin Davaracher Ma'akev. Says no, the pasuk says V'Lavisham, and that tells you that only Levisha is Ma'akev, but nothing else is Ma'akev in between. So Tzav panav. So he got all excited. What a great answer that is. He says, I just wrote the letter vav for you on a log, meaning when you write something on a uneven substance, so it like breaks up the letter. It doesn't look like a nice letter. Basically, he said to you, I gave you an answer that was all smoke and mirrors. It's not really a good answer. Because if that were really correct, then in the morning it shouldn't be ma'akev either. If we say only levisha's ma'akev, none of the washing should be ma'akev. So instead we have to suggest a different answer. Only that which is ma'akev for a kohen hediot is going to be ma'akev for a kohen gadol. That which is not ma'akev for a kohen hediot, meaning all these extra washings that a kohen hediot doesn't do, is not going to be ma'akev for a kohen gadol either. Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Mehacha, a different source. Rachzu menu Moshe v'arnu banav. Davar ma'akev b'banav ma'akev bo. Davar she'enu ma'akev banav ein ma'akev bo. So from there we learn only things that are ma'akev for a kohen hediot are ma'akev for a kohen gadol. Things that are not ma'akev for a kohen hediot are not ma'akev for a kohen gadol. Rabbi Yonos and my time alone. What was wrong with the pasuk that Chizkia quoted? Why do you need this different pasuk of Verachzu Mimenu? So Amalach Ahu L'Doros Hudachsiv, because that pasuk is written L'Doros. V'idach my time Elomer Mehai. So why didn't? But what was wrong with Rabbi Yonasan's pasuk of Verachzu Mimenu? Why does Chizkia have to have his own pasuk? Mimbay Leilich Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. He uses Rabbi Yonasan's pasuk to teach us the following din of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Kol Kiyor Shein Bo Kedei L'Kadesh Arba Kohanim Mimenu Ein Mekatchin. If you have a kiyor that doesn't have enough water to wash four different kohanim from it, you're not allowed to use it. Shnemar v'rachzu menu Moshe Aaron u'banav. It says v'rachzu menu Moshe Aaron u'banav. Banav in the plural, so you see you need at least four kohanim. Tanu rabbanu ketzan mitzvah kiddush. We have another minute, right? Ketzan mitzvah kiddush. What is the mitzvah of kiddush? How do you do the mitzvah of washing the hands and the feet? Maniach yado yamanus al gabei raglo yamanus. Yado asmolus al gabei raglo asmolus. Right hand over right foot. Left hand over left foot. Umekadesh and you wash. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah Omer maniach shtei. You put the two hands on each other and the two feet on each other and you wash. You put it all together. He says, that's impossible. That's crazy. You can't do that. How is a human being supposed to put all fours together and wash? So Shapi Karmel, it's a good taina. No, he has some help from his friend. What if you're leaning? Is that okay? Why doesn't he just sit down? What do you have to lean? Just sit down and wash the hands and feet. Tos says, can't mean sitting mamish. He must mean really leaning on something, because they yeshiva bazar al malchus bezav vilvad. But why don't you lean on something? Amakra l'sharis, v'sheris mu'umadhu. That washing is considered to be sharis, and sheris is mu'umad. When you're doing a service, it has to be standing up. Okay, I'll work on my timing for tomorrow.